Morning, everyone. Yes.
Or whatever other time of day you're listening to this.
Well, here's the thing, because we have had a look into where people are who are listening to this podcast, haven't we? And you'd have thought that it being the British Equestrian Federation podcast, that vast majority of people who listen to it would be in Britain, and you'd be right. However, there is a significant portion of them who are in the States.
Yes, so hello, listeners in the States.
Yes, and whatever time of day it is out there, I'm sure you're having a wonderful time. Welcome back. We are doing these weekly now, coming out every Wednesday. And we have a specific theme in mind for this week's podcast. Tell us about that.
We do, and it's a very important one, and that is equality within our sport.
It is, and it's something that our sport, certainly as far as its image is concerned, it sometimes struggles with. So people assume that the only people who are involved in our sport are those with limitless funds, that have got lots of money to spend, and that bluntly they all come from the same background, and that's not the case.
It is really not the case, and it's something that's becoming more and more prominent, and something that people are, well, firstly, we are seeing more diversity in the sport in general, but it's also something that people are starting to pick up on and really start to back and advocate that we get more, a wider range of people within our sport taking part. And that could be to do with culture and ethnicity. It could be to do with financial background. It could just be where in the country you live, you know, inner city people, and we want to be able to give them access to horses as well.
And we want to be able to talk about the ones who are already doing it as well, because frankly, this sport is already reaching those communities. It's just that you don't tend to hear about it that much.
No, and I mean, we obviously did the podcast with Park Palace Ponies not too long ago. Listen back to it if you haven't already.
Yeah.
But that's one example of an inner city project who is providing the people of that community who come from all sorts of backgrounds with access to horses and are really seeing the benefits of doing that.
Absolutely. So to that end, the BEF has set up the Equality Engagement Group. Tell us a little bit about this, because we went along to the first meeting, didn't we?
We did. So this is a scheme that's been put together with sort of by the BEF and its board, and the idea is to do exactly this, to bring more sort of equality to our sport. And you know, to find out a little bit more about how it came about, I went to speak to Anna Hawley, who is our head of participation and who's been very involved in the formation of this group, to sort of get her take on well, why it's been set up, really. So Anna, explain to me how this group came about.
Okay, so this group came about, there's a conversation between myself and Jess Cook, who's our non-executive director with a lead on equality and diversity. And we were aware that we weren't talking to diverse groups of people. We really want to get different voices that are engaged in our sport talking to us, so we really understand what they need and want from our sport.
And what is the sort of the aim of the group? What are they trying to achieve in their meetings?
Yeah, they're really trying to achieve opening up access for all. We know that our sport is incredibly powerful and makes a real difference to people. We want to make sure that anybody who wants to be involved or engaged with horses in whatever way, participating, volunteering, or just going and patting a pony, can be involved with our sport.
And they're quite a diverse group of people, aren't they?
They are really diverse, and that's the whole point. We want to hear from lots of different people that are already doing our sport and that are encouraging diverse groups of people to be involved.
And why is it important that we make equestrian sport as diverse as it can be?
I think there are a number of reasons. We actually want to make sure that we're encouraging anybody who wants to get involved to get involved. And so from a moral point of view, we need to open up access and be inclusive. We also need to make sure that from a really hard-nosed, logical, commercial point of view, that actually if more people are interested in our sport, more people will do it. And that will bring money into our sport and our sport will be more sustainable. And finally, if we use diverse groups of people, we make really good decisions. There's been loads of research which says just diverse groups of people make great decisions. So if we want great decisions for our sport, let's get diverse people in.
And that's exactly what we're doing.
It is. Thank you very much.
Okay, so that's Anna Hall, head of participation at the BEF, and obviously the person who spearheaded this group. And now you and I went to that meeting, and it was at the RDA's new headquarters. Well, I say new, I mean, we've been there a few times now, haven't we?
We have. I mean, it's only been open for a few months, so it's it is still fairly new.
It's great though, isn't it? I mean, it's like, you know, so the previous one was on a sort of basically on a trading estate, but now you've got stables there, you've got a yard there, you've got training arenas. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they've got, I think it's three RDA groups working out of literally their headquarters, which is amazing. And all the ponies there, the arenas and everything. So, and I know that the members of the group who were there were really impressed with it as well.
Yes, they were. And so obviously the purpose of this group is obviously to hear more ideas, because we know and have everyone talking together about things that have worked, things that don't work, that kind of thing, about being able to reach those different communities. Now, who was the other member of this group that you've spoken to?
Well, we spoke to two. They're each representatives from different projects that are already reaching these communities and doing it very, very successfully. So the first person I spoke to was Naomi, who's from Ebony Horse Club, which is in Brixton in London. It's been around for a while, and I imagine quite a lot of people have heard of it. But I wanted to get her take on the project and why she thinks it's so successful. So Naomi, explain to me a little bit about your work with Ebony Horse Club.
So Ebony Horse Club is a community riding centre and charity based in London. So we're in Brixton, which is, as anyone who's been to London will know, a very urban area and not a place you'd expect to find horses. But we have 8 horses and ponies based among the tower blocks of suburban South London, and we provide horse riding, access to horses and youth work for young people from the local area.
And explain to me a little bit about the sort of young people that you're working with. What is their background? What sort of, who are they?
The young people that we work with are all local. We've always, throughout our kind of 23-year history as a charity, been focused on the local community and providing solutions to the challenges that young people face growing up there. So everyone we work with is from in and around Brixton, and they range from the age of 8 up to kind of, we work with people into their early 20s, and we've had alumni go off and graduate from university, you know, get jobs, and we still support them. So yeah, kind of big range of ages. And some people that come to us have literally never seen a horse before. I've put them on a lovely piebald black and white horse, and they'll say, "Miss, why am I riding a cow?" But, you know, what they all have in common is that they are kind of looking for new opportunities and often just a bit of respite. So lots of the young people we work with have quite significant challenges, either at home or at school. So we always work with people from lower incomes because, as most of us know, riding can be prohibitive for people who can't afford kind of normal riding lessons. So we work with lower income families, and then on top of that, some of the kids we work with are referred to us through different agencies, so maybe social services, maybe the youth offending team. It could be they've been expelled from school. Could be that they've got things like ADHD or a physical disability. So often they have multiple challenges that they're dealing with. And, you know, riding for a lot of them, whilst it is fun and exciting and relaxing, also for a lot of them it's very therapeutic or provides a new direction for them.
And what sort of effect do you see in them when they're around the horses?
We see a huge kind of effect when the young people are around the horses. We've had young people come to us who literally won't speak, they're kind of non-verbal with the humans, but actually you see them slowly starting to build a relationship with horses. So, you know, they understand, they kind of come to understand very quickly that horses don't judge them, horses give back what you give to them. So if they treat the horses with love and respect, that's what they get back. And actually, for a lot of our young people, they haven't ever had very much love and respect in their lives before. So you see them, you know, build up those relationships with the horses, that once they learn to trust the horses, they then learn to trust the staff who look after the horses, and then they learn to trust, you know, other humans and adults that are involved in the club. And often they can go from, you know, being non-verbal, not wanting to engage with anyone, to being chatty, sociable, working as a team, and going on to kind of get involved in trips and other opportunities outside the club. But also we see people just, you know, really having fun and having, you know, an hour or so a week that is time that they can be themselves. When you're on a horse, obviously, as we all know, as riders, you can't bring your worries from the outside world onto the horse, you know. So if someone has come in from school, they've had a bad day because they've been maybe bullied or just not doing very well at school, they understand they have to leave that at the gates and when they're on the horse, because if they're not paying attention to that big, heavy, potentially dangerous animal, things can go wrong. So they understand that when they're riding, they all their focus is on their riding. And for so many of them, actually having that, you know, hour a week where they don't have to worry about anything else that's going on at home or at school is massively beneficial to them.
And it must be really rewarding for you as well to see that in them.
It's hugely rewarding for myself and I think the whole staff team. You know, we work for a small charity and we work with horses, so both of those sectors combined are pretty hard sectors to work in. So we're all in it for the reward rather than the kind of other things that might come with working in a big shiny office building in London. But it's incredible to see these young people who... Yeah, you know, we see them blossom, we see them go on to new life opportunities. Not everybody wants to go and study and work in the industry, but, you know, quite a few do, and they simply wouldn't have had that opportunity if it wasn't for Ebony. So just this summer, for example, two 16-year-olds finished their GCSEs, they gained places at Hartbury and at Hadlow, and they've gone off to, you know, start the next step in their lives, and to see that... when actually if they'd stayed in London, their life path would be drastically different. It's totally incredible to see that. And, you know, we all work really hard as a staff team to make that happen. But the horses really are the best teachers. And you see the kids build up these bonds with the horses. And, you know, just seeing, I don't know, like an 8 or 9-year-old have a little hug with their favourite pony after the lesson. It's totally heartwarming and makes everything worthwhile.
That's Naomi from Ebony Horse Club, and there was someone else there as well who I've met before. I hadn't met Naomi before, but Freedom I had met before, and he's from the Urban Equestrian Academy.
He is, yeah. The Urban Equestrian Academy is based in Leicester, and it's something that Freedom has set up because he has spotted the lack of diversity within the equestrian world in the UK. And he is doing something about it, doing it very successfully. And this is what he had to say about how it came about. So Freedom, explain to me a little bit about you, where you come from, how you've ended up here today.
So my name is Freedom Zampilatis, and I'm the founder, CEO of the Urban Equestrian Academy, which we set up in 2017 to look at widening the participation of non-horsey people in the horsey world, so basically urban communities, inner city communities. That was a philosophy, that was a vision, and the reason why I wanted to do that is because I come from that environment where before I left England, because I left England in 1994, and I was 14 years of age, I loved animals, but I never really had an opportunity to engage with animals. So I was quite lucky that when I moved to the Caribbean, my uncle had a race yard. So I started off as a groom at his race yard. Within 3 years, I ended up getting my license to train racehorses. So I used to train his racehorses at 17 years old. Came back to England. I went to Brooksby College with a view to going back to the Caribbean, Antigua, to just do even better. But my views changed because when I came back to England, I noticed there was such a lack of diversity in the equestrian world here that I wanted to do something about it. So that's how the vision for Urban Equestrian was born. We started off by doing just one project, which was a pony club for inner city young people that we set up. And it was extremely successful, the pilot scheme that we ran, to the point that we went from having, say, 20 kids on a Thursday for 1 hour to now having close to 80 kids 4 times a week. We're looking to introduce 2 more days. And we don't just have a junior pony club. We actually have a toddler program, a teenage program, and we also have an adult provision as well.
And what effect are you seeing on these kids being around the horses?
Massive effect. We have young people with special educational needs. We have young people with behavioural issues. We have young people that just don't have access to green spaces or animals. And it's having a huge positive impact on their well-being. You know, they're much more calmer young people. They're more approachable. They come from all different cultures, cultures, creeds and backgrounds. So they're learning about each other, they're learning how to get on with each other, and they're learning to understand one another. And not only that, we're bringing young people from the urban community together with young people from the rural community, and it's having a massive impact on community cohesion between those two communities. So it's actually bringing everyone together through the common love of horses.
And obviously you've now been nominated for the FEI Solidarity Award. That must be really exciting.
That was a massive shock, tell you the truth. I'm not a guy who really likes attention like that, you know what I mean? It's a bit much, tell you the truth, but you know, happily accept it. It was a massive shock. We're super honoured. You know, it's not really about myself. I wouldn't be able to do this if it wasn't for my staff members, my team. My team is super strong, super gifted, and I'm extremely grateful for the team I have. And this is for them. This is for the community. This is for them. This is for the young people. Solidarity is what we're all about. So, yeah, you know, anyone out there who's listening, who knows about us, please vote for us.
And what's your vision for the future for the Urban Equestrian Academy?
Our ultimate vision is for us to have our own place. We want an inner city riding school. We don't want a riding school in the county. That's easier. We want to have one in the inner city, similar to, for example, Ebony Horse Club or St. James Farm. Both, you know, friends of ours. We all doing similar things. We know that if we was to have an inner city riding school, it would literally reshape Leicester. You know what I mean? And it's just needed. You know what I mean? There's too many cars on the roads anyway. Let's get more horses on the roads in the inner city. How about that?
And the important thing to say here is that obviously this is a sport that's reaching all these diverse communities. But the people get involved in this sport because they love it, don't they? So so that means that, you know, that when you've got a sport like that that people do because they love it, then that means it's not just going to be one set of people who are interested in it. So many are. 3 million riders in this country. So obviously it's a diverse thing. Now, we were particularly excited that Freedom turned up because he's been nominated for an award, hasn't he?
Yes, well, as he explained in his interview,
yeah,
the Urban Equestrian Academy, and he is very keen to push the fact it's the whole organisation, yeah. It's not just him, but the organisation has been shortlisted for the FEI Solidarity Award, and as Freedom also points out, it is decided, I think, 50% by a public vote. Mm. So, lovely listeners of our podcast,
yeah,
we would like you to help Freedom out if you've been inspired by what he had to say, or I mean, to be honest, even if you want to just find out a little bit more about the project, you can also just go and read the information on the FEI website. So to go and vote, it is fei.org/awards. You don't have to put in any personal information, anything like that. You just have to vote on each category and click.
And so, both you and I have voted, haven't we?
So, yes, we have.
So everyone needs to get it. So tell us that address again. What was it?
fei.org/awards.
And you'll find the FEI Solidarity Award. That's the one that Freedom is nominated under. You then, I mean, you can vote for all of the categories, but the one we would point you towards is the Solidarity Award for Freedom. It's a great project.
And the Urban Equestrian Academy.
And the Urban Equestrian Academy, correct. It's a great project. It's one where the BEF has been wholeheartedly supporting. And it's just, you know, it's just a great project, full stop, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So this engagement group has now started, and they're obviously going to have regular meetings, and we want to be able to reflect that. And I think I'd say as well here is that it would be really good if people listening to this know of projects that are doing similar work to the Ebony Horse Club, to the Urban Equestrian Academy, reaching those communities that aren't always associated with our sport. You need to get in touch.
Yes, please let us know. So you can email us, podcast@beef.co.uk, or we're on social media. So we are at Equestrian Team GBR on Facebook, at Team GBR on Twitter, and at Equestrian Team GBR on Instagram.
Brilliant, well done. Is there anything else we need to say? I'm trying to think, is there anything else we need to include in the podcast this week?
I think we should probably give a shout out to Ben Mayer, who has won the Global Champions Tour title with his brilliant explosion in New York over the weekend.
Just a phenomenal. I mean, you know, obviously had an amazing European Championships, but for that sort of penultimate fence. But those two, goodness me, what a set of athletes they are.
I think all eyes on them. for Tokyo.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Okay, well done, Ben. Well done, Explosion. Well done, everyone. Well done, you, Rachel.
Well done, Matt.
Well done, me. And well done, you, for listening. Thanks very much. See you next week.
Bye.